So, what does on the up and up mean? Our linguist Jeff Nunberg thought he knew, but it turns out that some people use the expression in another way. He wonders what it says about our ability to communicate with each other when words mean different things to different people.
I had a call from my friend Ani, a Belgian linguist who spends a lot of time thinking about idioms. She asked me what I thought on the up and up meant. I told her it meant above board or on the level, as in, are you sure these intelligence reports are on the up and up? Does it mean anything else, she asked. Not as far as I know, I told her. She answered, well, go look it up on the web. So I Googled the phrase, and damned if more than half the first 100 hits for on the up and up didn't have it meaning on the increase or improving, as in Hong Kong's trade is on the up and up. True, a number of these came from sites in the UK or other foreign countries. It turns out that the Brits have been using on the up and up like this for more than 70 years. But I was surprised to see how many Americans use the expression that way, too. I found newspaper stories announcing that school activities fees were on the up and up in Minnesota and that tourism was on the up and up on the Delmarva Peninsula. A defensive end for the Tampa Bay Bucks says that his career is still on the up and up, still on the rise. Out of curiosity, I sent a question about the item to a discussion group that's peopled by dialectologists and other devotees of word lore. I had a note back from somebody in Berkeley who told me that he was surprised to hear that on the up and up could be used to mean on the increase. But when he asked his wife about it, she said that for her, that was the only thing it could mean. She didn't know it could mean on the level. And what made it odder still was that they'd been married for 20 years and both grew up in Southern California. I had this image of the two of them sitting at the breakfast table. He asks, is your brother's new business on the up and up? And she says, no, but he's making do. And they go on like that, with neither of them ever realizing that they're talking at cross purposes. Deborah Tannen, call your office. Of course, expressions are always changing their meaning, and every once in a while they'll trip the alarm of the grammarati who complain about it. But it's striking how often these disparate meanings can live side by side without anybody seeming to notice. What does it mean to say, that gives me heartburn? I always figured it meant that something made you anxious or worried, but it turns out that a lot of people use that phrase to mean, that makes me furious. I don't know whether that corresponds to a difference in dialect or in diet. In fact, sometimes a word can have contradictory meanings with no one being the wiser. I once got into an argument with a linguist friend over the meaning of the sentence, the pool was deceptively shallow. I maintained that it meant that the pool was shallower than it looked, and he said it meant that the pool was deeper than it looked. To settle the argument, I took advantage of my role as chair of the usage panel of the American Heritage Dictionary, a group of 175 noted writers that we poll every so often on usage questions. But when we asked the panelist what the pool is deceptively shallow means, the results were curiously inconclusive. Half of them said it means the pool is shallower than it appears, a third said that it means the pool is deeper than it appears, and the rest said it could go either way. In other words, if you put that sentence on a warning sign, you can be dead certain that anywhere from a third to a half the people who see it will get the wrong message. Or take the word minimal. She ran her best races when she had a minimal amount of food in her stomach. Does that mean she ran best when she'd eaten nothing or when she'd eaten a bit? The usage panel was split on that one, too. A third said A, a third said B, and another third said it could mean either. If you're of a pessimistic turn of mind, you could take all this as a reminder that we can never be sure that we're understanding each other. It puts us on guard against the illusion that Adrienne Rich described as the dream of a common language. But maybe the wonder of it all is that we manage to muddle through even so, breakfast after breakfast, turning to faith to bridge over all the gaps in comprehension. Or anyway, that's how I prefer to think of it. To paraphrase another poet, Randall Jarrell, we understand each other worse, and it matters less than any of us suppose.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University's Center for the Study of Language and Information and the author of The Way We Talk Now.
Thank you.
Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced by Phyllis Myers, Amy Sallet, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, and Anne-Marie Baldonado, with Patty Leswing, Jessica Chu, and Ian Chillock. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. For Terry Gross, I'm Barbara Bogain.